I'm glad I made it. And that you made it and brought your main actress as well.
Oh yeah, no, she was really excited to come. She's never been to... I don't think she's been outside of Canada, actually. So this is her first trip to Europe, her first trip to Berlin. So she was... when we were making it, I said, hey, you know, if things go well, maybe we can go to somewhere really exotic for you. So when we got invited to Berlin, I gave her a call, and she was very, very pleased that she was coming, that she got to come to Berlin. Thank you.
In the movie, she's the adult character, I would say. She knows what to do, she knows how to react, and she's able to talk any moment.
Yeah, she's the, it's almost like the roles are reversed, you know, that he's the more quiet one, and she's the talker, and she's the leader, and she's the doer. In a way, it's sort of almost like her, sometimes I think, oh, it's almost like her point of view, this movie, you know, because she's the one that's, kind of got stakes in the game and a little bit to lose, and she's the one, sometimes you watch scenes through her eyes, you know, so it was... especially nice that Julia could come here and see the reception of the movie. Yeah.
How did you find the story?
The story was written by a good pal, Daniel McIver. He's a playwright. He's from Sydney, Nova Scotia. He's from the east coast of Canada. He's somebody I've known for many years. My first contact with him was I was a cab driver in a play. I had one line, which was, "Does anybody need a cab?" And that was one of Daniel's plays. And since that time, we've done... He's written another movie for me. He's directed some projects. He works also as an actor. So it's, it's a treat to work with the people that you've known for a long time. And so this story came out of his past as a young, he was about the same age as Kit growing up in the East Coast in the 70s. So I liked his writing. I liked him. I liked the story. So we decided to kind of do whatever we could to kind of get it made.
Was it intended as a play on the stage or as a movie?
No, it was written as a movie. Most of his time is spent in the theater. He's also, you know, he's an actor. He does one-man shows. He's very, very engaging. He's really funny. Very smart guy. But he's got a very strange relationship with the movie business because in the theater, the writer is the king. You know, and in the movies, the writer's often the person that's sometimes not allowed on set, you know. And so, you know, I made sure that he was a great co-pilot with me, that he was along with me for the casting and for the, the discussions about how and what and the editing. So, you know, it was a way for him to make a movie, but the easy way. And I did the heavy lifting for him.
So was your Andy Warhol already written in it?
He was one of the last things to be added to the script, because when the script was sort of finished, he gave it to me to read the final draft, and I was like, yeah, this is great. And he's like, and? I said, well, I don't know. I just think we could add something beautiful and strange. I don't know what it is, but something, and it's sort of, he says, okay, leave it with me. So he come back the next day and he says, okay, how about Andy Warhol as a spirit animal that just pops up now and again? I said, great, I love it, let's do it. And then it was that fast. So he can fight, you know, he can fight for, you know, the integrity of the script, but he's also a great collaborator when, you know, he's challenged or there's a mission to accomplish that he is, he can come up with interesting solutions to things.
And he's not only a fun character, because he's funny, and the people are going to laugh about this Andy Warhol character, what he does, what he answers, and so on. But on the other side, he's a very important part of the story now.
Absolutely, yes. When we shot it, we didn't know for sure if it would work or not, because, you know, it was one of those things. Sometimes a film takes a new idea in the end well, or sometimes it doesn't. It's like it's almost like, you know, putting on a new limb or something. You know what I mean? It's sort of will the project take it? And so we were fortunate to find an actor that did a pretty good job, and it seemed to come in at the right place and right time. So people enjoy Andy. So.
And it helps because a lot of heavy things are happening in his life. His coming out, his mother finding out what happens to her, and leaving his father and family.
Yeah, it was because it's there's heavy stuff in it and there's a lightness to it that we wanted to try to keep it a lightness to it, and we didn't. There was a danger of it becoming, possibly too, you could go to the dark place, you could go to the angry and the violent place, and like there was a woman in the audience questioning about, certain experiences that people have in these rural communities where, alternative sexuality, queer, gay, whatever, it's not accepted, it's not tolerated, and that can be very bad results. But I think we saw this more as a lighter film, as a young person's film, so it was, Andy was a way to kind of not be super heavy. The music was a way to keep it also fresh and sunny and light, and it was important that it was summertime. It was and that allowed then the darker, more dramatic moments to sit well. And they didn't take over the film.
No, they didn't take over. So did you experience yourself some parts of the movie? You already told you had one of the albums in your room.
Yes. Like the main character of the movie, he was 16 in this year 76. I was pretty much the same age. So, I shared a love of a lot of that music, the Elton John and the Stampeders and... some of the other music, Andy Kim and Gordon Lightfoot, and hitchhiked, and was a romantic, did dream about faraway places, I grew up in the suburbs of Toronto, which is a pretty generic, average place, a place of like parking lots and shopping malls and apartment buildings and just kind of nothing really happening. So music and books and...
No beach parties?
No beach party. Well, not really. I mean, sort of, but that was more of a MacIver thing, I think, in the East Coast. We would have what we called the big bush party after school. So you go to because we kind of was on the edge of the city, so you would go to a field or in the country or down near a ravine, and you'd bring cases of beer, and you'd bring your guitars, and you'd have sometimes even have a campfire, and it was just a place where the teenagers would make their own party. So there were no clubs, there were no real places to hang out. I mean, there was like a skating rink and a roller rink and a shopping mall.
So one of the scenes I really liked was the coming out scene with his girlfriend, because there was not so much drama in it. It was kind of natural.
Yeah. Because it's a delicate thing, right? You can be very melodramatic, you can be really seriously emotional, but it was a kind of thing that they have a little hot moment, and then they're not really talking to each other after that, and it's a slow wind back for her to kind of figure out, well, how, now that our relationship has completely changed, well, what are we now? So, sort of watching her negotiate, well, what, I still like him, he's my friend, and it was interesting to see her, that's why, the ending is quite lovely, where they, it's kind of like they agree to be close still. It's a different way to be together, but it's just as interesting and lovely.
What I didn't expect was the scene when the grandmother says to her son, I think it's her son, let him find out himself. So that's what I didn't expect. So the grandmother didn't say, go catch him, or something like that.
Yeah, because it creates, when she says that, I think as an audience member, you're like, find out what? Like, you start to become curious. What is he walking into? And it kind of sets up a bit of danger and a bit of mystery as to what that is. And I think, sometimes, the lessons best learned are the ones that you go through yourself, that it's not somebody telling you not to do or to stay away. It's like, no, you have to kind of... You have to kind of experience it for yourself, and then you can come to, hopefully, a good conclusion.
And what we couldn't see in the movie, because it's in black and white, were all the colors. You already talked about the leaves, but I think even the clothing, they should be... Did you try to find the correct colors of this special time, this 76?
Well, it's funny, because 76 is a very colorful time, in a way, in our pop culture imagination, with, you know, television and records and disco and all that stuff. So... I suppose the real reason is that it's a modest film, so in a way, we didn't really have the full resources to really curate and arrange and design the colors in a kind of coherent way. Do you know what I mean? Like, if we were Oliver Stone, or if we were a bigger budget, absolutely, because, you know, the design team on a sort of a regular movie might have a team of 12 people and a budget of, you know, a couple of $100,000, so they can rent the furniture, they can paint the wall, they can find those old artifacts, and they can build a set. And our resources and our reach was much, 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 much smaller than that. So in a way, black and white was arrived at because it gives you an instant sense of design. It gives you an instant sense of coherence and unity in the image, that colors are not clashing and things aren't. And so that was one of the reasons that, that black and white was chosen, because it gives it a kind of elegance without as much effort. Sort of.
So you're giving people hope about coming out, being accepted. So was this your message from the beginning? Did you want to make a movie about that?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's as much, it's Kit, it's about the sort of the bravery of anybody that comes out, and the kind of fear and the danger and the kind of, yeah, it's a fearful step that people have to make. And it was more fearful, I think, back then. You know, now in the current world, I mean, there's a lot more language, there's a lot more, you know, it's not solved, but there's more tolerance and there's more language. People are equipped to understand. You know, I have a daughter who's 13 years old, and her friends, they're fully knowledgeable of, like, bi, trans, gender fluidity. It's hilarious. Like, they are very empathic and very righteous. You know, if they feel somebody's being wronged, they will stand up for them, you know, and they will argue with an adult with an old-fashioned mentality, like maybe our generation or my generation, and stand up for their friend or their, you know. And it was startling to me to kind of see how much better equipped these younger kids are than we ever were, you know. And of course, there's a long way to go, but I clearly see there's been a huge leap from what it was, especially, you know, what I know from our country anyway.
So I would have a lot more questions, but where's the movie going? This will be the last question.
Well, we're going around the world, you know. We started in at the film festival in Toronto. That was the premiere. This is our first international premiere here in Berlin. And I go to Glasgow next. This is an independent film, so festivals are very, very important, because we don't have, you know, Columbia Pictures or Sony or Warner Brothers to, you know, give us a big promotional budget and to kind of let people know about this. So the festivals that occur in many countries in the world are extremely important to independent films made outside the gates of Hollywood, because it's journalists like yourself, it's the audience that comes here, it's the festival people that kind of promote and organize the films, that let sort of an alternative cinema out into the world. So we're very, very fortunate, and we'll be on to places like Istanbul and, you know, from this festival, a lot of other festivals come and they say, oh, could we bring this to Greece, to Kenya, to South Africa, to Moscow? And I could literally probably tour for a year going to, like, all these fabulous places. But I have to get back to work.
And hopefully it's going to be in a cinema or...
Yes, 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 absolutely. Often we'll have, like, a kind of a theatrical presentation on in an independent cinema, and definitely on television, where a lot of independent cinema lives, because it's just... It's easier to access it. It's easier to find it. Yeah.
So, thanks for the interview.